So our question is, how much is that on play calling? How much is it on the quarterback when you get to the red zone? Well, let's talk to a guy who knows a lot about both. Of course, Henry Burris, one of the all-time great quarterbacks in CFL history, now analyst on TSN, joins us. And Henry, you've been under center a lot in your career. When you get to the red zone, how much of that is on play calling execution, and how much is it on the reads and this the split second decisions by your quarterback?
Well, Jason, first of all, I got to change your focus on, because when you say red zone, that's a defensive term that means stop.
Okay.
So if you're focusing on that, it's not going to work. But honestly, it's a shared responsibility between the play caller, between all the offensive players, from the drops to the bad throws, or maybe not just having enough courage and aggressiveness to take a shot sometimes. But also the defense makes plays. But in this case, I mean, when it comes to Edmonton, looking at all the talent they have, and we've been talking about it amongst the panel, as far as how come this group just isn't having more success than what they're having, because in between the 20s, they move the ball better than anybody else in the entire league. But once they get into the scoring area, it's like they're thinking in the back of their mind, well, as long as we can kick a field goal, we'll be fine. Well, I think they're finding out that that's not true anymore. But to me, you got to maintain your aggressiveness. And sometimes you got to put the ball up. If it causes an interception here or there, so be it. But you got to show your players that you're going to take chances when down there, because you believe in them. I mean, look at the receivers that you guys have, and Ricky Collins and Davaris Daniels and Greg Ellingson. Those are three of the finest and best receivers in this entire league. And having C.J. Gable, he's one of the top one or two backs in this league in my mind. And so when you're not using these guys up to their full capabilities, I mean, to me, it's only a disappointment. But at some point, they got to take the leash off and start getting aggressive. That's the only way that this team can get their way back up top to contend for the playoffs in the Western Division, that is.
So, Henry, do you think the play calling's lacking aggression, or does Trevor Harris have to be more aggressive? And sometimes, it's a tight window, but you got to go for it anyway.
Well, to me, it's both, because when they are being aggressive, Trevor does have to take chances sometimes. And I can understand, trying to be efficient and things like that. But if you're going to throw 50-50 balls out in the middle of the field, hey, you got to take your chances and do that sometimes when it calls for that. Because when things aren't going your way during the course of the game, if you're an offensive coordinator, you got to dial up one of those big play opportunities just to show your team that regardless of how the game's going, we have to get momentum on our side, and we're going to maintain our aggression, and we're going to believe in our guys. And Trevor has to do the same thing as well, and he does that in between the 20s. But the thing that frustrates me is when they play Toronto, when they play Montreal early in the season, when they play BC, teams that didn't have such good records, when they play Ottawa, they showed some aggression, and they got after those defenses. But the thing that's getting to me is when they play against the good defenses, like the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, just playing against Calgary in Montreal, they didn't show that same aggression. And to me, they're still calling some of the same plays. And if they are, it's on the players. You got to make the catches. Trevor's got to maintain that aggression. He can't get timid. He can't get shy in those situations. Because the thing is, you got to show us who you are. And that's what we're waiting to see. The fans in Edmonton, I know, are us talking right now. We're trying to see who are the real Edmonton Eskimos. Are they the guys who average almost 350 yards passing per game? Or are they the guys who, thrown one of the worst, have one of the worst percentage of touchdown passes in this entire league? And that's what we're waiting to find out. And so right now, their back is up against the wall, guys. They're fourth in the West right now. And if they really are who we thought they were, being the guys that brought Sunderland, put together this massive overhaul of just talent after talent after talent, and some of the best in the league signing with the Eskimos, now's the time where you get paid to make the plays in the big games, because this one coming up is probably the biggest game in their season.
Henry Burris joins us, CFL on TSN, talking about the Eskimos' struggles close to the goal line, not the red zone. Henry, when you were a quarterback, was there something that a receiver could do to inspire confidence for you, so that you kind of take the leash off and whip it in there, maybe when it's a 50-50 ball?
Well, just hearing receivers maintain their confidence, because it's always a collective effort as far as getting guys up. Because when, for a quarterback, when a receiver drops the ball, you need to go up to that receiver and tell him, hey, man, hey, I'm still going to come back to you, so you might as well wipe your eyes and dry them because I'm going to throw the ball back to you. So you want to see through the tears and make sure you catch the ball. You got to tell guys like that. You got to make sure you over exude the confidence that you have in them. And, of course, it's likewise when a quarterback might struggle or may not have, you know, seen the read that should have happened on that play. Receivers need to come up and help communicate what's going on. However, as a quarterback, you got to curb what receivers say sometimes, because I've had receivers say they're open millions of times, but then when you look at the iPad, the playback of the play before, they were triple teamed in some sort of way. But for some reason, they never see getting triple teamed. But you love to hear that because it shows you the guys are still exuding the confidence, and they're displaying that confidence that they have in you, knowing that you can make those throws. But at some point in time, you got to break those chains. You got to burst the bubble, and you got to go out there versus the Calgary this week and say, you know what, I know which matchup that is in our favor. And when I get that matchup in the red zone, we have that right route covered or called in this case, I'm going to throw it up, give my guy a chance to make the play. And you got to do that because it only takes subtle plays to really turn the tide as far as for an offense and for an entire team. Just look at Montreal, because Montreal, I can't say they have as much talent as Edmonton, but look at how much confidence they're playing with. And there's no way Edmonton shouldn't be able to get to that point. But the difference is, when they get in the scoring zone, Montreal turns it on. It's in the green zone for them, and that's exactly how they play. They're throwing touchdown shots to checkdown shots. And right now, I just don't see Edmonton doing that on a game-to-game basis, because if that was with DeForest Daniel, who's a 50-50 beast, with Greg Ellingson, who's a 50-50 beast, who I can tell you that personally, and then who Ricky Collins is such a great route runner, who can stay with this guy? You got to give those guys chances, and that goes from the play calling also to the quarterback making the throws and showing that confidence in those guys to make those plays in those one-on-one opportunities.
Henry Burris, analyst for TSN, joins us. You mentioned DeForest Daniels, Henry, and to me, like, I look at the Eskimos the last few years. They had the most touchdowns offensively the last two seasons at 100. They had guys like Walker and Zylstra and Williams, and then even Bowman. And when you have big play receivers, you got to go to them at crunch time. And I don't see them going to DeForest Daniels enough in the green zone. Now, granted, he was injured, so he wasn't in some of those games, but is that too simplifying it just to say, okay, you know what? We're inside the 20 now. We're calling a play to DeForest here, and we know that we're going to give him a chance to go make a play. Can you simplify it to just that and say, let's put our best playmaker up against their guy, and we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. We think he makes the play.
I know some people would debate with you on that, because some people still say Greg Ellingson's the best, but when you got DeForest Daniel, who's a matchup nightmare, especially for defenses trying to figure out who can cover this guy, you mentioned it. You're perfectly correct, because you want to put him in great situations, whether it's on a field corner or a field halfback, because typically you find some of your weakest cover guys to the field, because sometimes they don't feel quarterbacks will make that long throw for the ball to stay in flight. But you have to give a guy like DeForest an opportunity. I mean, the guy right now, he's probably been targeted most over the past couple of games for Edmonton, and that's the reason why Edmonton's moved the ball as efficiently and effortlessly as they have. Of course, against Calgary, there were some struggles, and Calgary did a great job of getting pressure on Trevor Harris. But to me, the one guy that needs to be utilized more by this offense is C.J. Gable. To only have a couple of touchdowns for C.J. Gable during the season, to me, it's a massive disappointment, because with guys like Travis Bond, as far as a part of that offensive line, I mean, you guys from O'Donnell I can continue to go. I mean, you guys got so many big guys, and that offensive line has been so effective. You got to continue to mix things up. You can't forget about C.J. Gable in the running game, because with a guy like DeForest, with a guy like Ellingson, and with a guy like Ricky Collins, how do you balance that out when they're putting extra guys into the secondary to double cover those guys or make it difficult for quarterback to squeeze a pass in there? That's when you have a five-man box. And with five offensive linemen versus four defensive linemen and a linebacker, 5-on-5 equals the offense wins. That's when you got to give C.J. Gable the ball, and that's a guy who makes plays. He's a BYOB. He can create his own block, making people miss. That's the reason why when Edmonton's always at their best is when Trevor Harris throws for 300, and you see C.J. Gable in total yardage putting up over 150 yards, total yards being a receiver or a running back. But to me, when it's too lopsided, when they throw for 400 and only rush for 60, they typically don't do as well. So for me, they need to get balance going. And to me, that'll be the biggest way to solve this issue of really, you know, still giving opportunities to get their receivers in one-on-one matchups in the green zone, because right now they're too much lopsided being a passing team in that area, and they're not running CJ enough.
So is that something they have to work on, like, right from the get-go? You know, try to get CJ feeling good with his legs and get him moving, even if they aren't in that, you know, that danger zone or the green zone, as you called it?
100%, because balance is the way to solve all problems, and it's the most unique way to keep a defense off balance. And when you get down inside the 20, like I said, in between the 20s, they move the ball effortlessly, and they use all their weapons. They run screens. They give the ball to CJ. They run the RPO. They run the zone running game. They run slants. They get the ball to their receivers. Trevor gets it out of his hand quick. He does a great job of taking care of the ball and avoiding sacks. So they're always in good down and distance where you want to be as an offense. But when you have balance with that offensive line, a guy like CJ Gable and the mix of receivers going, a thing we used to say in Ottawa, Calgary, and Hamilton, and all the places I played, we always said, pick your poison. If we outnumber you in the box and you want to take away our passing game, we've got a great running back with a massive offensive line that can punish your guys up front. But if you want to add more guys into the box, hey, we're going to kill you on the outside. And if you do that early and often, it turns into a game of chess. And all we tell you is, hey, pick your poison. Now we got you exactly where we want you. And this is the type of makeup of what this Edmonton Eskimo offense can be. Now they just have to find a way to get to that point. And it, to me, in this game, is the time that they can utilize that early and often, because we saw Montreal do it 2 games ago for Calgary. So to me, Edmonton's as more talented than that Montreal offense. So why not do it right now? Do it at home. Get your crowd back on your side. And right now, if they need a victory, none is bigger than this one as far as getting the offense going the way it should be going.
Lastly, Henry, the play calling when you get to the 20-yard line and closer to the goal line, how much does it really shrink the playbook? Is it significantly different?
It is. I mean, it's much different because a lot of coordinators kind of switch up what they do in that area. However, you always have those subtle plays where you feel good to call that play regardless of where it is, regardless of what the defense is run, from blitz to man to different types of zones. You always got to have those plays in your arsenal. And I know Trevor personally has those plays in his arsenal where he can reach in his bag and pull those plays out and feels 100% confident against whatever defense they throw at him. But again, things do change a lot because defenses run much different plays as far as coverage-wise and what they do up front in the scoring zone based on how much closer you get to the end zone. And they find ways to, you know, shut down who you love to call plays or love to target in that area. Where if you're throwing to DeVaris Daniels 19 times, Greg 5 times, and Ricky Collins 2 times, trust me, they're going to take DeVaris out of that game plan the very next game. I can promise you that. So therefore, yeah, you do tweak some plays. You come up with some more gadget plays to make sure you can take some shots in the end zone. But if there's one thing I haven't seen Edmonton do enough, like I mentioned, it's taking those shots in the end zone, especially when you have one-on-one coverage. Because tell me something, guys, what's two things that can happen that go towards the offense's favor when the ball is thrown up into the end zone to give your receiver a chance? Either it's incomplete, you know, of course, we want the completion, or you're going to get a pass interference, and then you get the ball at the one-yard line. And I know we all love that, being quarterbacks and receivers and Edmonton fans, especially going against Calgary. So why not give it a chance? Because as long as you show your aggression early on, it shows to Calgary and that defensive coordinator that, hold up, if they're going to take shots and they get man, let's be more conservative. Let's call zones. Let's make sure, you know, let's let them run, because right now with those receivers, we don't want to get beat by Trevor and those guys. Let's see if they're finally going to run the ball with CJ, and that's when you pick on them as far as within the running game, running some draws and screens.
Henry, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Look forward to a busy weekend. Rematches between the Western battles and two other games in the CFL this week. Thanks for your time.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot. Off to my son's hockey practice. So, being a hockey dad, but looking forward to the games.
Now, how's your hockey skills, Henry? Can you go talk? Can you go bar down?
I spent all this money on my kids learning how to skate, and they taught me nothing. So, for me, the only thing that's going down the ice is me, face first.
Thanks, Henry.